This is Retro Sports Radio. Visit RetroSeasons.com for more sports history.
Here's the set. Here's the pitch. He swings. There's a long one. It is long gone. A home run.
Not all broadcasters, sportscasters, have a signature call. Some do. You do. I do. But not everybody. You didn't start out to have a signature call, did you?
No, I just started out doing the game, and whatever the signature calls that developed for me just sort of happened. I think probably the first one I came up with was, he stood there like the house by the side of the road and watched it go by when a guy took a call third strike.
There's a breaking ball in for a strike, and he stood there like the house by the side of the road and watched it go by. Struck him out. That's the third strikeout for Holliday.
Long gone was my so-called home run call, but I really didn't do that until the late 80s or the mid-80s. I didn't do it in 84. And somehow I just began to say, it's going, it's a long one, it's gone, it's long gone. And then I cut it back to long gone. And then people sort of asked me to keep doing it, so I did.
Right-hander against the right-hander. The outfield is straight up and deep on Fielder. He is the DH today. Swing, there's a drive to left. That one is long gone. Fielder weighs into that first pitch with his 29th home run of the year.
Well, Ernie, another one of your signature calls was on your call for a double play, two for the price of one. Where'd you start that from?
You know, I don't know when that started or where it came from. Maybe it was inspired by Lulu's shopping philosophy.
Set the pitch. He swings. Bounding ball. Stopped by Truby. Throw to second. One. Really the first. Two for the price of one for the Tigers. A great play by Truby to end the third inning.
The foul ball. Caught by a man from Saginaw.
Yeah, that's another one of those accidents. I never did that in any other place. I didn't do it in Brooklyn or New York or Baltimore. But when I got to Detroit, I guess about the first year or so, maybe in 60 or 61, somebody hit a foul ball, and I said to my partner, that guy that caught that ball is from Saginaw, wherever it, I said. And then it just sort of caught on. And I'd walk through the ballpark, and somebody would say, hey, let a guy from Grosse Pointe catch one today. Or somebody say, hey, a lady from Windsor never has caught one. Why don't you let a lady from Windsor catch a foul ball tonight? So that's what we did. And then when we went on the road, we would know, you know, some outlying cities like New Rochelle in New York or Tenafly, New Jersey. A guy from Tenafly would catch it. Or if you were in Chicago, a fellow from Evanston might have caught that one, that kind of thing. It was a lot of fun. We enjoyed that.
Infield in double play depth for the Mariners. They've had a lot of ground balls so far today. Here's the pitch on the way. He swings and fouls it off. It'll reach the seats over back of the Tiger dugout. And the man from Walla Walla will take that one home.
Did you ever let a lady from Kentucky catch one?
No, Lulu had to stay home and take care of the kids.
From the greatest managers, players, broadcasters, and team, we're going to shift now to your most embarrassing moment. What was the most embarrassing thing that ever happened to you while you were either on the air or in the booth?
I had a lot of embarrassing moments in my career, but I think the one that was most embarrassing happened in California. The Tigers were playing the California Angels, and Collins was at third base, freehands the catcher, and Collins steals home. He's called safe on a very close play at the plate. There's an argument ensues. Ralph Houk comes out of the dugout, and I says, here comes Houk out. He's arguing with the umpire. And Bill Freehand at the plate, and he's beating his mitt at home plate. So luckily for me, it happened about 2 o'clock in the morning, Detroit time. And, you know, never heard a peep out of anybody except one guy, my friend Pete Sark, who was an announcer who lived in Flint. He called me the next day and said, do you know what you said? I said, I don't know. I sort of thought I made a slip, but Paul Carey didn't react. What was it? And he told me, and I dropped the phone. Oh, me.
I'm Tony Mooney steps away from the plate, gets back in. Collins is coming down that line a little leisurely right now. Crawford looks over to him. Now, here he comes to the plate, stealing home the throw, and he is safe. It's a steal of home by Collins. Freehand is putting up a vehement argument with Garcia, the plate umpire. He claims he had him. Here comes Ralph Houck out. He's getting in on the argument. Crawford is over there watching. Freehand is beating his mitt at the plate.
Well, that's probably something that you're not most proud of, but what are some of the things you are most proud of?
One of the highlights of my career, I think, was being put in the Guinness Book of Records, the only media member who's in the Book of Records, and I'm in there as the most enduring baseball announcer. I'm very proud of the fact that the folks at the tower out at Metropolitan Airport named an airspace after me, so if you come in maybe over Jackson coming into Detroit, you got to go through an airspace named Ernie Harwell. First active broadcaster to enter the Hall of Fame. And I'm very proud of the press box dedication at Comerica Park that the Tigers accorded me, plus the stature that Mike Ilitch had constructed for me that is there in the ballpark. By the way, that stature did a good job because they put all the wrinkles in my pants. I weigh 350 pounds, and I'm hollow. Sports Illustrated named me as the radio announcer for their all-time dream team when they selected that team a couple of decades ago. And I'm very proud that the Detroit Public Library dedicated a room to Lulu and me to house my sports collection.
How would you want to be remembered?
I'd like to be remembered in the in the will of some real rich guy. That's how I'd like to be remembered. Have you got any prospects for me? Well, I think the Bible in Micah says, "Son of man, what does God require of you but to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God?" And that's what I've tried to do. I probably haven't done it very well, but I'd like to be remembered as making a try at that.
The Tigers have just finished their 2002 season, and I've just finished my baseball broadcasting career, and it's time to say goodbye, but I think goodbyes are sad, and I'd much rather say hello. Hello to a new adventure. I'm not leaving, folks. I'll still be with you, living my life in Michigan, my home state, surrounded by family and friends. And rather than goodbye, please allow me to say thank you. Thank you for letting me be part of your family. Thank you for taking me with you to that cottage up north, to the beach, the picnic, your workplace, and your backyard. Thank you for sneaking your transistor under the pillow as you grew up loving the Tigers. Now, I might have been a small part of your life, but you've been a very large part of mine. And it's my privilege and honor to share with you the greatest game of all. Now, God has a new adventure for me, and I'm ready to move on. So I leave you with a deep sense of appreciation for your long-time loyalty and support. I thank you very much, and God bless all of you.
This is an open letter to Ernie Harwell. Dear Ernie, 53 years ago, I followed you into Brooklyn. 20 years ago, I followed you into the Hall of Fame. And our relationship has only been perfect. Baseball is so much richer for having you all these years and poorer for losing you. Sincerely yours, with love and affection, Vin Scully.
Hi, Ernie. Nice to see you and congratulations on your retirement. You deserve it. I tell you, you've been one of the icons in the history of the game of baseball, and I feel very privileged to have been able to get to know you way back when you were doing Oriole baseball, going to your home and seeing the sporting news you had there, the history of the game, meeting your twins, and it's been a good role. And I tell you, you're going to enjoy your retirement a great deal, and I'm just privileged to be a part of baseball with you. Thank you.
Hi, Ernie. This is your old buddy, Tramp. I know you're retiring from the broadcast booth, but we all know this is just a semi-retirement. Hope the best for you and Lulu in the coming years. There's one phrase that's used quite often, you're the best. But in your case, Ernie, you simply are the best. We're going to miss you. All of baseball and all Tiger fans are going to miss you. Ernie, best of luck.
Mr. Harwell, this is Derek Jeter of the New York Yankees. I just want to congratulate you on your retirement. And from someone who grew up listening to you, You will be greatly missed.
Ernie, I can't tell you how much I'm going to miss you. I go back, like few other people anymore left in baseball, to the old New York Giants when Ernie Harwell used to be in the booth. But what I'm going to miss most of all is the visits in the clubhouse, the visit in the dugout, being able to talk with the old Hall of Famer and just talk about life. You're such a wonderful human being. There's plenty more gas left in the tank, my man, and I hope you make a visit from time to time. We're going to miss you.
Hello, Ernie. I'll be so glad to have you home soon to help me in the garden with getting rid of the old vegetable garden and making a new one and planting some new roses. It makes me think of how many times I've had to be alone. And I want to thank the fans for giving you back to spend the time with me. Hurry up and get home, Ernie.
William Ernest Harwell began his broadcasting career in Atlanta, Georgia in 1940. From 1948 to 2002, he called over 8,000 baseball games and in 1981 received the greatest honor of them all. Induction into the Baseball Hall of Fame. From Jackie Robinson and Pee Wee Reese, Willie Mays and Bobby Thompson, to Leo DeRocher and Sparky Anderson, Ernie painted a picture of baseball unlike any other.
Baseball is the president tossing out the first ball of the season and a scrubby schoolboy playing catch with his dad on the Mississippi farm. A tall, thin old man waving a scorecard from the corner of his dugout. That's baseball. And so is a big fat guy with a bulbous nose running home one of his 714 home runs. There's a man in Mobile who remembers that Hannes Wagner hit a triple in Pittsburgh 46 years ago. That's baseball. And so is a scout reporting that a 16-year-old pitcher in Cheyenne is the coming Walter Johnson. Baseball is a spirited race of man against man, reflex against reflex, a game of inches. Every skill is measured. Every heroic, every failing is seen and cheered or booed and then becomes a statistic. In baseball, democracy shines its clarity. The only race that matters is the race of the bag. The creed is a rule book, and color merely something to distinguish one team's uniform from another. Baseball is a rookie, his experience no bigger than the lump in his throat as he begins fulfillment of his dream. And it's a veteran, too. A tired old man of 35, hoping that those aching muscles can pull him through another sweltering August and September. Nicknames of baseball, names like Zeke and Pie and Kai Kai and Home Run and Cracker and Dizzy and Dazzy. Baseball is the clear, cool eyes of Rogers Hornsby, the flashing spikes of a Ty Cobb, and an overage pixie named Rabbit Moranville. Baseball, just a game, as simple as a ball and batting, yet as complex as the American spirit it symbolizes. A sport, a business, sometimes almost even religion. While the fairy tale of Willie Mays making a brilliant World Series catch and then dashing off to play stickball in the streets with his teenage pals. That's baseball. So is the husky voice of a doomed Lou Gehrig saying, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of this earth. Baseball is cigar smoke, hot roasted peanuts, the sporting news, ladies' day, down in front. Take me out to the ball game in the Star-Spangled Banner. And baseball is a tongue-tied kid from Georgia growing up to be an announcer and praising the Lord for showing him the way to Cooperstown. This is a game for America. Still a game for America, this baseball. Thank you.
Honey-baked brand hams are fully cooked, spiral-sliced, and covered with a crusty glaze.
Gotta be a honey.